7-1
by Simon Miller. The grey, sponge-like ground gave off a grey, foul-smelling mist, which rose into the dismal grey sky. The Doctor and Ace trudged along, trying not to smell the air, which Ace said reminded her of the loos in the park. The Doctor was educating Ace on the origins of this place, grey space.
Two powerful enemies created this space. One wanted black space, and the other wanted white space. This was the compromise.
Why did they create their own spaces?
The two entities are bound together in some way.
The Doctor meshed his hands and comically acted out the two hands struggling with each other.
Neither entity can do anything without the agreement of the other, but they rarely agree. They've been around since the dawn of time, but in all that time, grey space is their only achievement.
Ace interrupted him with a nudge and pointed at a dark figure in the mist ahead. As they got nearer, they could see it was a tall, grey android carrying a large rifle. It appeared to be standing guard over a small grey door with a combination dial lock.
An RWR Mark II android holding what looks like a Zavarian antimatter rifle,
noted the Doctor.
Do you think it's friendly?
Asked Ace.
If it wanted to kill us, it would and could have done so by now,
he replied. Suddenly, words filled their heads, bypassing the medium of sound.
Doctor, you have 7 chances to solve our test of intelligence.
Very kind of you. What do I win when I pass?
The Doctor called out.
A goldfish?
More words appeared in their heads, although these words felt as if they had a different owner.
We will permit you to continue your travels, but if you fail, you will be removed from all space and time. It will be as if you had never existed.
So what do we have to do?
Called the Doctor. But there was no reply. Ace eventually broke the silence.
I guess figuring out what to do is part of the game, Professor. Why are they doing this to us?
Oh, the entities like games.
He scowled.
The last time I was here, I managed to use a Monopoly set to escape.
Let me guess, you used the get-out-of-jail-free card?
The Doctor didn't smile.
Whilst they were arguing over who went first, I slipped away in the TARDIS.
Which explains why they brought you back without it.
Yes. I wonder why they brought you, too.
Ace shrugged and changed the subject.
I reckon we have to get past the android guard and open the door,
she said.
Of course,
the Doctor commanded.
Wait there. I have an idea.
He strode over the squidgy terrain and looked the android straight in the visual scanner.
Enter admin menu,
he cried.
Password?
Asked the android.
0000,
snapped the Doctor.
Password accepted.
Shut down.
The android's head sank to its chest. Its arms dropped. The rifle fell to the soft floor with a thwump. The Doctor tutted.
They never thought to change the default password.
Ace caught up with him as he walked in a circle all the way around the grey door. It only came up to his waist. Although there seemed to be nothing behind it, the Doctor knew it would probably open to another dimension. He crouched down and put his ear to the metal. He twirled the dial to the left, then to the right, then several rotations to the left again. The Doctor smiled.
Problem sorted.
And he pulled the door open.
As I suspected, it's dimensionally
The Doctor, in his usual bold kaleidoscopic clothes, addressed the android guard in his usual bold voice.
Identify yourself.
I am an RWR Mark II android running on Military Artificial Intelligence, version 3.27A, available from nowhere.
Artificial Intelligence? Artificial stupidity, more like,
replied the Doctor, grinning at his companion, Perry.
Nowhere's military artificial intelligence has been shown to outperform all other leading AI brands in scenarios requiring acts of force,
stated the android flatly.
Acts of force rarely require much intelligence,
said the Doctor dismissively.
What is your purpose here?
To stop anyone opening this door for the rest of eternity,
replied the android, indicating the small grey door. Said the Doctor, as if considering a chess move.
And what, pray, is your definition of a door?
According to the Nowhere Galactic Reference Bank, which comes free with every Nowhere RWR android purchase, a door is defined as a movable barrier that opens and closes an entrance.
And will anyone be able to open that door whilst you guard it?
Asked the Doctor with a sly smile.
Nothing can stop an RWR Mark II android.
So, whilst you guard it, no one can open that door, correct?
That is correct.
And you will guard it for the rest of eternity, correct?
That is correct.
Therefore, it cannot and never will function as a removable barrier, correct?
That is correct.
So, by your own definition, it is no longer a door, correct?
That is not correct.
Oh.
For a moment, the Doctor thought he had underestimated his opponent.
Why not?
It is not my definition. It is a Nowhere Corporation's definition.
Ah. So, by Nanoware Corporation definition, the door is no longer a door.
That is correct.
So, your purpose for functioning no longer exists, correct?
That is correct.
So, logically, you have no purpose and should shut down, correct?
There was a short pause.
That is correct. This unit is now powering down.
Bravo!
Cried Perry, giving the Doctor a clap, which he smugly waved away.
Come on, Perry. Let's see what is behind this door.
He performed a few theatrical twirls of the dial. He paused for effect, like a magician approaching the highlight of his act, then grandly pulled open the door and looked inside.
Ta-da! Always carry a Nanoware maintenance engineer identity card with you?
Nyssa examined the card the Doctor had used to convince the android to shut down for an inspection.
No,
replied the Doctor, patting the celery in his pocket, then twirling the dial on the door.
I just happen to have one with me. You've unlocked the door?
Asked Nyssa.
Yes, but should we open it? How else can we complete the test?
The Doctor stood up.
Don't you think this test has been a bit easy? Only because you had this card. There are dozens of ways to trick a low-level artificial intelligence like that. I can't help feeling... Doctor, please open that door and get us out of here! Well, the entities are a strange couple and...
The Doctor looked at the cold, bland greyscape around them, and then at Nyssa beside him, huddled to keep warm.
It's not as if we have any other options, is it?
He crouched, pulled open the door, and looked in.
Nyssa!
Romana looked at the RWR Mark II android. Its limbs were wrapped up tightly with a multicoloured scarf. Two licorice whirls were stuck over its visual sensors. There were jelly babies in its audio receptors and the contents of a bag of sherbet in its processing unit.
It wasn't very intelligent,
she said.
Well, you don't need to be that intelligent to be a ground soldier,
replied the Doctor.
Especially if you're equipped with an antimatter rifle.
He was squatting by the door, holding his squealing sonic screwdriver in front of a self-twirling dial.
Do you know, I'm quite insulted. Those entities thought an android with half a processing chip was a match for us.
Romana grinned and walked over to the Doctor.
According to the entities, that half-chip has beaten three of your future incarnations. I can only assume I'm not with you when that happens. So, what do you think is behind that door?
She asked. The doctor crouched down on his knees and peered into the darkness.
Why conjecture?
He replied.
When we can see the answer for ourselves! So, the laser from that rifle is unstoppable,
said Joe.
Pretty much so,
said the doctor, who seemed more interested in adjusting the cravat of his outfit.
Except it's not a laser. It's a stream of antimatter particles.
The android was in marketing mode.
Nothing has been found that can stop the stream of antimatter from the Zavarium 55, which are available from nowhere at very competitive prices.
Now that's very interesting,
mused the doctor.
Because my companion, Miss Grant here, is looking to purchase some high-grade weaponry.
He winked at Joe.
I am,
said Joe, who'd missed the wink but caught the stern look that followed.
Oh yes, I am, I am, I'm very interested. Could you show Miss Grant the wide streaming setting?
I am programmed to demonstrate all aspects of any Nanoware's excellent product range. I will transmit you a catalogue of our products. Please supply me with your intergalactic identifier code.
Gladly, if we are impressed with your demonstration, my dear chap.
Where shall I shoot the beam?
There was a pause as the doctor quickly checked the area around them in case he'd missed something. There wasn't much choice. It was devoid of features.
The floor?
The android reeled off facts and figures about the rifle as it adjusted and pointed the weapon at the ground. An impressive cone of blazing red antimatter particles created a wide, deep hole. As it stepped back, the patter continued.
Nothing can stop the antimatter particles, so the hole will continue for infinity.
Joe peered into the hole.
Well, that's not true. I can see the bottom.
Not possible,
replied the android.
Antimatter particles cannot be stopped by anything.
Well, don't take my word for it,
replied Joe.
Take a look for yourself.
The last sound the android recorded was a cry of
Hi-ya!
The sensors in its rear section recorded a small impact, the effect of which toppled it into the infinite hole it had just created.
So,
said the doctor, producing his sonic screwdriver.
Now we've dealt with the tin soldier, let's see what's behind this door.
Joe was still looking down the hole.
Poor android,
she said, giving it a little wave before going over to crouch behind the doctor and his warbling sonic device.
Here we go,
said the doctor as he pulled at the door.
Well, my dear... Doctor, look at the size of that thing,
cried Jamie.
My young friend is admiring your rather fine rifle, an antimatter rifle, if I'm not mistaken,
explained the doctor.
A Zavarium 55 antimatter rifle, the beam is unstoppable,
explained the android.
And you yourself have a rather fine casing, don't you?
Complimented the doctor.
My casing is made from xanonite. Only available from Nanoware. Nothing can penetrate xanonite. Nanoware has a large range of xanonite products at very competitive prices.
Are you quite sure about that?
Queried the doctor.
Several independent consumer studies show that Nanoware is the best supplier of xanonite.
No, said the doctor. I'm referring to the claim that your casing is impenetrable.
That is also correct. Tests carried out by Nanoware prove that nothing can penetrate xanonite.
That doesn't seem right, does it, Doctor?
Chimed in Jamie with a grin.
No, Jamie, it doesn't,
replied the Doctor, waggling his head from side to side sadly.
Nanoware does not make false claims about its products.
Well, this is easily settled. All you have to do is fire the rifle at your own casing.
The android, programmed to promote Nanoware's products, pointed the rifle at its own head and pulled the trigger. its head dissolved with a sizzle in the antimatter flow, which then streamed away into the mist of grey space. The remaining body stood for a few seconds, tilted forwards, and thumped to the ground.
"Well, you were right about the antimatter beam,"
said the doctor to the android's remains, before turning his attention to the small, grey door.
"So the tests for the Xanonite were wrong,"
said Jamie, looking over the doctor's shoulder as his friend attempted to crack the combination.
"Not necessarily, Jamie. The antimatter device was invented after the Xanonite testing was done, so the impenetrable claim was valid at the time. Fortunately for us,"
the doctor continued,
"artificial intelligences have difficulties with concepts like that."
"I do believe it's a very simple combination lock. Strange, very strange,"
muttered the youngest, but oldest looking of the doctor's incarnations.
"What's strange?"
asked his granddaughter Susan.
"The entities told me that 6 of my future incarnations have failed this test already." "So maybe you're cleverer than them." "They are my future incarnations, Susan, older and wiser than me, theoretically. Besides, someone with half my intelligence could outwit that Tindoy."
The doctor waved a hand in the vague direction of the android. It was still turning over the piece of paper on which he had written PTO on both sides.
"What do you think is behind the door?" "I don't know. My selves have been extracted from time in reverse order, so we can't learn from our mistakes. Do you think it's something valuable? But perhaps I can learn from mistakes made in my future. Maybe the TARDIS is through that door, Grandfather." "Susan!"
the doctor snapped.
"Will you not stand so close behind me?" "Sorry,"
said Susan, and took a small step back. The doctor looked up from the lock thoughtfully.
"I wonder if my future selves had any companions with them. Grandfather, are you going to open that door or not?"
The doctor crouched down in front of the door again and continued.
"The essence of a good trick, as any good magician won't tell you, is to distract the victim with one hand whilst performing the trick with his other hand."
The doctor opened the door and, surprisingly quickly for his apparent age, sprang to one side of the opening. Instead of pushing the doctor through the door, whatever it was that impersonated Susan passed through the space the doctor had just occupied and fell through the doorway.
Ah!
Because he had passed the test, the entities restored the doctor's 7 incarnations to where and whence they had come from. They believed in playing by their rules. The entity that had gambled on the doctor failing the test complained that 7 chances had been too many. But the winning entity pointed out that the number had been determined by the roll of the dice of Monopoly. So it relented. After centuries of arguing, the game of Monopoly could finally start.
"What is the piece that has 4 limbs?"
thought the first entity.
"I believe that piece is called the dog,"
thought the other.
"It looks powerful. I will choose the dog. Let us agree to put that piece on the board."
"I disagree."
"Why do you disagree?"
"I want the dog."